Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Wednesday, January 7th. I'm Taylor Heckert. The unofficial 2026 Petersburg Indian Association election results are in. Tribal members re-elected Carol Martinez to a one-year term as council president and elected Stephanie Silva to a two-year tribal council seat. Two council member seats currently remain vacant. Martinez and Silva were the only candidates running for spots on the tribal council this year. This year's election had a significant decrease in candidates compared to previous years. Last year, 13 people ran for six available seats. The number of votes this year was also low. Martinez received 15 votes and Silva received 13. The final total of ballots cast will be published ahead of the election canvassing meeting, which takes place at the PIA offices next Wednesday, January 14th at 5 p.m. The Tribal Council has 1 month to fill the two remaining vacant council seats. If the council fails to fill the seats within 1 month, the president will have 1 month to fill the spots. The individuals who temporarily fill those seats will remain on the Tribal Council until the next PIA election. The next PIA Tribal Council meeting will be Wednesday, January 21st at 5 p.m. Haines and Skagway have suffered through weeks of bitterly cold temperatures and many feet of snow. Snowfall in Haines has been so heavy that residents are worried about roof loads. As KHNS's Melinda Munson reports, community members are caring for each other in these extreme conditions with shovels and the internet.
When the National Weather Service reported snow depth of 36 inches over the weekend, Haines resident Sherry Loomis started making a list on Facebook.
People coming back to Haines and their vehicles were buried, and they were learning about this as they were traveling. There was not a shovel in their car. It wasn't that way when they left, and so requests started being put on social media. Can someone help dig my rig out at the ferry terminal parking lot? And pretty soon these other requests started coming on social media.
Those requests vary from shoveling off roofs to clearing paths for heating fuel deliveries. Loomis organizes the list items and marks them when they are complete. Community members are rallying to take off items, but as of Monday afternoon, 19 structures are requesting a service, and Loomis expects the number to grow with more incoming bad weather.
I just had the daughter of a 91-year-old woman contact me with a house right downtown that the roof needs clearing, and they're very concerned of structural failure. Another one out at Lutac, the carport is in danger of collapsing on two vehicles. It just goes on and on.
Haines Mayor Tom Morfitt says that while this isn't the most snowfall Haines has ever received, the timing has been brutal. It's on top of the 5 feet of snow that fell last month.
I think what we're seeing is people who are exhausted, people who are burning up their fuel supplies or their budget for oil, now having to get out and, you know, shovel till they're eating a lot of ibuprofen and just a lot of sustained stress. And that's understandable completely, considering that this cold snap is one of the longer cold snaps I remember in my 40 years in Haines.
And while everyone is hoping for a warm-up, too much melting snow carries the risk of an avalanche.
We're kind of standing by and hoping and praying that when the thaw comes, it's a gradual one and not a rapid one.
While Skagway's snow depth on January 3rd was 13 inches, nearly 2 feet less than Haines, residents have been having their own issues. The intense cold has caused numerous frozen pipes and broken furnaces. Skagway has no plumber, so residents reach out to whoever is available to help. Fuel is burning faster than normal, so residents are reminded to frequently check their heating oil levels, even if they recently had a refill. On Sunday morning, shortly after midnight, the Petro Marine Services truck was out making emergency deliveries. Haines' mayor cautions residents to keep their heating vents clear, and the Haines Fire Department asks residents to find their closest hydrant and shovel it out. Again, Mayor Morfitt.
We understand, I think, in the north that weather can be fatal and it's a serious thing.
But so far, he says the Upperland Canal is doing okay. Sherry Loomis asks that other Haines residents continue to keep her updated on what tasks are completed so she can update the request list.
I'm just really overwhelmed with and I have so much gratitude for the people that are helping others right now. It could be a matter of saving someone's house.
The forecast calls for snow continuing through Thursday and then turning to a mix of rain and snow next weekend. In Chicago, I'm Melinda Munson.
Ski patrollers at Alyeska Ski Resort in Girdwood rescued a dog from a deep ravine last week that had been missing for 13 days. Otis, who's described as a friendly Bernese Mountain dog who loves snacks, was reported missing on December 17th from his home in Girdwood. Bane Salmon is the mountain communications manager at Alyeska. He says a staff member heard a faint bark as they were heading up the Ted's Express lift for an early morning shift last Monday.
Later that day, another patroller on staff heard another bark while they were heading up the same chairlift, and upon further review, looked into the canyon and noticed a brown fuzzy dog deep in the canyon.
Salmon says a team of five patrollers grabbed rescue gear, found an entrance to the ravine, and after coaxing Otis with treats, were able to harness him and lift him out. Salmon says the dog then walked down to the aid room with his tail wagging, where he got water and lots of love from his rescuers. Salmon says ski patrollers weren't professionally involved with locating Otis until the day of the rescue, but he says the team was thrilled to find him after multiple days of below freezing temperatures.
It's really positive, you know, jovial. Everyone was thrilled to find him, and just hard to believe how long Otis had been out there, and to find him in good condition was a miracle, truly.
Salmon says instances like this are unusual because dogs aren't allowed on the ski hill in the winter. The spot Otis was found in is extremely steep, technical terrain. From start to finish, he says the rescue took about 2 hours. Salmon wasn't directly involved in the rescue, but it sounds like Otis was a good patient.
He was not enthusiastic about wearing the dog evac harness, but I think his exhaustion from his long, cold adventure led him to mostly just be still and calm as we raised him out of the canyon. Overall, he's a good boy.
Salmon says he heard Otis lost some weight, but is happy to be back home. Some Alaska Airlines passengers were hit with surprising bills for checked baggage that used to fly for free within the state. As KYUK's Evan Erickson reports, the company says it is working quickly to reverse an issue with its Club 49 program that has affected a baggage benefit that is valuable for many rural residents.
Bethel resident Shane Iverson says he was shocked last weekend when he stepped up to the Alaska Airlines counter at the Anchorage Airport to check in for the flight home.
I had two kids. We each had three items to check in, so 9 items. So yeah, I was sitting there with a ton of boxes and luggage when they told me they were going to have to charge me for most of it.
For a long time, Alaska Airlines has had a policy of allowing 3 free checked bags per person within the state. Iverson says maxing out on luggage is something a lot of Bethel residents do.
That's kind of part of the equation of your trip. If you can afford to fly in as well, at least you're going to, you know, get a little savings on your supplies that you can bring back and the variety of things you can find.
That policy used to apply to anyone flying wholly within Alaska. But in October, Alaska Airlines announced it would soon be limited to Alaska residents enrolled in its Club 49 loyalty program. For Iverson, the change seemed inconsequential. He's a resident, and he's been a member of the free loyalty program since it launched in 2011. But when he checked in on his phone the night before flying, the app showed he would be charged hundreds of dollars in baggage fees.
So I was like, it's probably just a computer snafu, pretty understandable. I'll just go early because probably other people are going to be dealing with this too.
Iverson says he was initially told that he would need to re-enroll in Club 49 and that it would take a week or more to process. But after some back and forth, he says a ticket agent agreed to waive the fees, but he says he's still not sure what happened. In an emailed statement on Monday, Alaska Airlines spokesperson Tim Thompson confirmed that some but not all Club 49 members have been incorrectly charged bag fees since a new baggage policy went into effect on January 3rd. Current Club 49 members do not need to re-enroll in the program. Thompson says the problem may be resolved as early as Wednesday. Meanwhile, customers can get bag fees waived at ticket counters by showing they have Club 49 status in the mobile app or by showing proof of Alaska residency. Club 49 members who were incorrectly charged bag fees should contact customer service for assistance. Iverson says he has been disappointed to find that other Bethel residents affected by the error also had little idea of what to make of it.
Who's ever in charge of communicating really needs to do a better job, because in rural Alaska, we follow this closely. It really affects our lives.
Meanwhile, Alaska Airlines' new baggage policy means non-Club 49 members without other special statuses are on the hook for new fees. According to reporting by KNOM, non-members without an Atmos Rewards credit card or elite status now need to pay at least $230 to check 3 bags within Alaska. On top of the three free bags, Club 49 membership offers two free checked bags for flights to and from Alaska. You can confirm enrollment in Club 49 online by opening your profile drop-down menu, clicking Account Overview, and navigating to Membership Card. On the mobile app, click the Account tab and scroll down to Atmos Rewards and Member Card. In Bethel, I'm Evan Erickson.
And a note to listeners, Shane Iverson is KYUK's former general manager. For the past several years, a team of scientists has been trying to answer a surprising question. Are beavers contributing to climate change? The furry rodents have spread into parts of Alaska once thought too harsh for them to survive. That expansion has researchers concerned about possible unintended consequences. One of those consequences is mostly invisible, except for a brief window in October, when KNOM's Ben Townsend went out to see it for himself.
We're on our way to Swan Lake, but more specifically a pond adjacent to Swan Lake. And what are we doing?
Well, we are going to try to get pictures of the ice over the top of the beaver pond, or what used to be a beaver pond in this case.
This is Keen Richards, a science teacher at NOM's Anvil City Science Academy. He's helping a team of scientists from the University of Alaska conduct a five-year study on beaver ponds.
As the Earth is warming and the Arctic is warming and shrubs are increasing their spread and density, I guess beavers are, you know, expanding because they have more things to eat. So they are relatively new to the Nome area and kind of just have exploded in their populations.
Keen's daughter, Amelia Richards, is in the back seat. She's somewhat of a beaver researcher herself.
I would say my experience is mainly like observing them and like eating them.
Eating them, okay.
They actually taste pretty good.
She says having more beavers around can be a good thing. Historically, indigenous populations have used beavers, which can weigh as much as 100 pounds, as a food source.
Also, a lot of people like look at them as like, you know, rodents, which they are. They are large rodents, you know, they are rodents.
Yep.
But like they are a food source, same as moose and caribou and bear occasionally. They're food, you know? They're also like amazing animals that we should like, you know, respect.
I think there's going to be a road off to your left and go just past it, kind of to the top of this hill.
60 miles up the road from Nome, we pull over and gear up for a chilly half-mile hike. Out here on the expansive open tundra, it's a lot colder and windier than town. After crossing the crunchy, ankle-breaking tundra, we arrive at the survey site. The pond is freshly frozen, with a light dusting of snow on top. Keen gets out a broom and begins sweeping a 3-foot-wide path on the ice, stretching out from a twig-covered beaver den in the middle of the pond. The bare path reveals hundreds of bubbles trapped inside the ice. The bubbles, researchers say, might contain methane that was once trapped in the permafrost below. They believe water from the beaver ponds could be speeding up the release of the harmful gas, which has accounted for about 30% of global warming, according to a United Nations Environment Program report. To try and identify potential hotspots, the researchers have tasked us with capturing detailed drone imagery of the bubble-filled ice. Here's where I come in.
Okay, I'm gonna start.
I fly the drone in a grid pattern, snaking north and south while periodically taking high-resolution photos.
All right, so here's the dam that we're at.
It doesn't look like much now, but with some light processing, it turns over 50 photos into one giant 3-gigabyte photo. Yeah, with a G. After venturing out to three more sites, we return to the car to steaming hot chai tea and dreams of cup of noodles back home. After stitching the photos together,
isn't that crazy? I can zoom in and I can see me.
We send the huge files over to the research team and await their findings. Maybe beavers aren't so bad after all. Reporting in Nome, I'm Ben Townsend.
For Canvas K, I'm Taylor Heckert.